In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
The dominion mandate is inside. That's why the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You carry God's image. Discover who you are and shake off that ignorance.
I confer the blessing on your life today. I confer your mighty hand of blessing upon their lives.
Welcome to Expand Your World with Pastor David Ogwili.
Glory be to the name of. Sing it one more time. The Lord is in this place. Wow. Please let all of us sing it one more time. Don't stand up. One more time. Wow. Full of compassion. A heart like yours. Hear me, Lord. Give me a heart like yours.
Wow. Wow. Everybody lift up one hand.
Please hear me, Lord. Please give me a heart like yours. Full of compassion. Nothing wrong with it. Please help me, Lord. Give me a heart like.
One more time, please help me, Lord.
Please help me, Lord. Give me a heart like yours.
Hallelujah. Just give him praise. Give him praise. Hey! 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 You see what I'm telling you, my friend Isaac? When the Holy Ghost is on a song, don't just jump away from it. Don't. That's quenching the spirit. When it comes to the spirit upon the anointing, he said, don't quench it. Don't quench the spirit. When it comes to the spirit within, he said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you are sealed until the day of redemption. You grieve him by not walking in the spirit. That's what Pastor Noves talked about. When you are walking in the flesh, doing the works of the flesh, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Malice, unforgiveness, evil speaking, talking about others behind. And you know the sad thing about grieving the Holy Spirit, you lift your protection as a believer. It's by him you are sealed and kept and protected until the day of redemption. You are punching hole on your own protection. That's why diseases, sicknesses, demonic attack get to you. It's because of grieving the Holy Spirit. Some people have even lost their life because of that. Because they leave their hedge opened. God promised to be a wall of fire round about us. And we go and destroy the hedge and allow the serpents to bite us. You see, the book of Colossians said you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You're not available for the enemy to touch. Bible says, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. The wicked one toucheth him not. But you see, the believer that keeps grieving the Holy Spirit is exposing himself to the enemy's assault. He thinks he's talking against another believer. He's not discerning the body of Christ. He's cutting his own lifespan short. One time, possibly in this conference, maybe in another, I will take time to teach you on judging. Because there are seven areas where God permits you to judge. You know, because sometimes the people who have responsibilities shy away from it, thinking maybe, I don't want to judge. The Bible said don't judge. No. You have authority to judge where you are in authority. Outside your authority, you don't. That's why Lagos State government has authority within Lagos State. Just in Ogun State, the governor doesn't. As a father and a mother, you can't see your children going wrong. You say, I can't talk to them unless it be I'm judging the child. Revoke that child. Correct that child. As a pastor, you have the same authority over the church. Paul said, I hear some fornication among you. He said, I've already judged. Even while I'm absent. Hand such a one over to Satan. Wherever your authority, you are given responsibility, that's where your authority is. And wherever authority is, you have the right to judge. And somebody heard me where I was correcting a pastor that was misbehaving. He said, but daddy, I thought you're the one that taught us not to judge. I said, I'm doing my job as a father over a family. I have that right over all my children, spiritual or not, whether natural or spiritual. But you see, I can't come to PCJ's house and start flogging your own daughter. It's not my responsibility. It's your responsibility. And I can't go to Lateran Assembly and start judging the people under Pastor Bakere. It's his responsibility. And failure to judge is why Eli died. He was a good man. His sons were misbehaving. So, you know, sometimes, you know, the scripture must be rightly divided. While you are trying to balance one, some people will take off on another side. And when Judas will say, woe is that man by whom I will be betrayed. Maybe you think he wasn't working in love again. He's doing his job. Those are people placed under him. Or when he rebuked Peter, get thee behind me. Or you think he has gone off. Where is the fruit of the spirit again? He is operating in the fruit of the spirit. He's being responsible. So if you watch your function as pastors, Bible says you are to teach, but you are to rebuke and you are to exhort with all authority. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Show it to them in the book of Timothy. It's not just for exhortation, for teaching only. But that authority stops where your jurisdiction, your responsibility stops. And how do you know who is in authority anywhere? Once you get to any place, it doesn't matter where, ask who is responsible. The person with responsibility is the person with authority. Now, if we get to the home now, who is paying the rent? That's also the person in authority. Whose job is it to look after these kids? If it's children's department, those are the people in authority. If you are not dealing with responsibility, you don't have authority. In that place, your area of responsibility is your area of authority. And in that area, you have the right to judge. Of course, they used to call leaders of Israel judges. And they have a whole book on it. Called Leadership Confers That Right. You know, for example now, Jesus had risen from the dead and he had two of his disciples. He met them on the way to Emmaus. Was that what it's called? And they were talking about all the things that happened the Passion Week. You know, in unbelief. And he began to talk to them. He said, oh, you foolish. How can Jesus use such a word? It's his responsibility. Oh, you foolish of heart, slow to believe what the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered all these things and to enter into his glory? And then he opened their eyes to understand the scripture. Okay, I asked for all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So look at the four functions of the scripture. It's good for doctrine, teaching. It's good for reproof. That's what some people don't want to hear. It's good for correction. It's also good for instruction. Instruction is training. You don't just do teaching. There is time for training and instruction in righteousness. So he said that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. The man of God may be, the word perfect is mature, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. If you want to mature people, so what do you do when you see things going wrong where you don't have responsibility or authority? Get the attention of the man in authority there. You see school children, one school, running around, doing things, jumping first, coming to meet some men in your yard. You can't just go and start beating them. It's not your responsibility. Call the principal or call their parents. You are exercising judgment where your authority does not extend to. And if it's my kids, you go and beat them. I might deal with you first. When I finish, I will still deal with them. It depends on how I perceive the situation. There are seven areas where God asks us to judge. For example, you're supposed to judge prophecy. You're supposed to assess ministries and know the fruit of good ministries and know fake ministries and not accept. For example, Jesus was praising one of the churches in the book of Revelation. I think it's the church in Ephesus. He said, you have tested them that said they are apostles, but they are fake. And you're proving them to be liars. The same way you're supposed to judge like prophets. Then say, they said, no, don't judge. Oh. You're supposed to judge morals and character. He said, there's fornication among you. I have already judged it. The man that did this because he messed around with his father's wife Hand him over to Satan. This is the man that also wrote on love, all the love, including fruit of the spirit that you are writing. I'm talking about Paul. So the Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of the truth. So that's different from believers who are going around judging each other, criticizing each other, murmuring against them. They are grieving the Holy Spirit. They will get their life messed up. It's like when issues come up, let's assume in this kind of ministry, and maybe it's in leadership level, God expects me to deal with it. If it happens to your base, he expects you to deal with it. Don't sit down there and say, oh no, we are not supposed to judge. Shut up, my friend. Correct immorality in your church. Your leaders are running wild. Put their limit and they don't sack them. After first, second admonition, put the man on suspension. You're not going to have a healthy church with only of course, you do it in your home. So that if you know how to run your home, you know how to run your kids. Run around, push down TV, break this. You warn him the first time. Second time, there's flogging. Third time, The same way there's church discipline, including things like excommunication. Suspension are the smaller ones. It's communication where nobody in the church greets that person at all or relate with him. Or render any form of help to the person. Then when such thing is given, maybe a leadership announces it. Some people who think they are walking in love more than God will go there, they will carry a curse on themselves. You know, if you leave some of you, you want God and Satan to reconcile. After all, God is love. You should forgive the devil. When you get to light and darkness, you don't reconcile them, separate them. That's the rule. Separate them. God divided the day from the night. That's what you must do with darkness. If you are so much in love, why don't you see a baller person and hug him? So, I'm walking in love. Why don't you do that with chicken pox? And TB, you can even kiss the person. So I'm walking in love. The only reason Jonathan was destroyed, he didn't do anything wrong, was staying in that association. With, and even when God would not go to war with them, he still had to fight. And it was a very tough place he found himself in. And he lost his life. He had to go fighting for Saul. He lost his life. Because evil also fights. Look at that one. A heretic. After first, second admission, reject. Mark them that cause division, that walk contrary to the doctrine which will teach you. Avoid them. Don't even greet them. Is it 1 Corinthians 16 or Romans 16? Find it. And then as a leader, you have to deal with such things. You must It didn't start here. It started in heaven, and God dealt with it. He didn't say, let's keep both Lucifer and the angels. You people should be walking in love. As you know, I know I'm talking about balance, because you are in leadership. You have responsibilities to protect the flock. Stop fooling around. When foxes are breaking through your fence, you say you're walking in stupid love. You are being irresponsible. You are a shepherd. Protect the flock that's put under your care. I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause division. You see, such people, don't go say you're walking in love with them. And they bring offenses. People that cause offenses in the church. Contrary to what we have been teaching you, what you have learned, and avoid them. Of course, there is one way. Say, anybody that says ordinary goodbye to such a person will become a partaker of his. You don't greet them and be destroying the flock. I look after my father's sheep. You cross, I destroy you. That's what you do. That's responsibility. That's part of being faithful. God put people in your care. He expects them to be safe. You know, I'm about to address spiritual gift. These fruit of the spirit are also classified into three groups. There's one that is about spiritual buoyancy and affection. The first three. Joy, peace, love. It keeps you spiritually healthy. They also are called, they give you social power. You actually influence people more, and people see the beauty of Christ if you have them. There is one that is about staying power. There are three. It's about staying power. Because after all those buoyancy flowing in the spirit, love, joy, and whatever in the Holy Ghost, there is a part about enduring when that tough time comes, trials come, that you survive it. There now you see things like long suffering. You see things like faithfulness. Because weather might change and there are challenges. It might be in leadership. You stay faithful. Finally, the weather, because it's just winter or summer, they will pass. And you come out on the other side, and promotion is what hits you. There's another that has to do with control, inner strength. They help you when they annoy you, when you are facing temptation, when all that. For example, meekness.